Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Asia Pacific shares are trading higher this morning on the back of gains on Wall Street overnight. Sydney is leading the way. The ASX 200 is up more than 1%. Investors in Tokyo are shrugging off some poor export numbers. Seoul and Tokyo are both up about 0.5%. Joining us now to break down all the market action is Manpreet Gill. He's head of fixed income, currencies and commodities investment strategy over at Standard Chartered Bank. Good morning, Manpreet.
Good morning, Michelle.
So U.S. shares snapped a four-day losing streak overnight, notching up solid gains across the board. The Nasdaq hit a new record high. So did the Russell 2000 index of small caps. Manpreet, we're down to the last 2 weeks of the year. Do you see much room for further gains before investors close out their books?
Well, the last few weeks of the year historically have tended to be quite a strong period for equity markets. So wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, many of these gains extend as we go right through the end of 2020. But I think what's important for investors is to recognize that there's sort of a trade-off between the short and long term. We've got a lot of optimism in the short term, and there will be inevitable questions, especially at the start of January, about whether positioning has gone too far or whether there are, you know, still sort of near-term hurdles to be overcome before vaccination is widespread. But we're actually quite constructive when you start looking out over a longer horizon over the rest of 2021. So I think there are a number of sort of time steps in the last 2 weeks, the next sort of of months, and of course the next 12 months. But for us, the lens is firmly sort of, you know, we think the right one is looking out over the next 12 months, because that's where the picture really starts looking much more optimistic, especially when we start considering more widespread vaccinations worldwide. That's quite positive for growth.
All right. Now, a key issue that investors are currently focused on are negotiations between Democrats, Republicans, and the White House over stimulus aid. And these talks have been ongoing for weeks. Warren Buffett issued a call overnight for U.S. Congress to act, saying there is an economic war that's taking place and small businesses need help. So Manpreet, I'm going to ask you a question that we put to all our analysts this week. Is this the week that we finally see a passage of a new U.S. COVID relief bill? And if so, will U.S. President Donald Trump sign off on it?
Well, we certainly hope so. I think, you know, fiscally stimulus is something that, you know, the U.S. economy most likely still needs, because it comes back to the point where I think, you know, there's a lot of optimism on vaccine, but that sort of sustainable growth path, you know, really only starts kicking in much later in 21. So in our view, look, a fiscal stimulus is likely. The question is, of course, like you said, one of how soon, one of timing, how soon can we get it, but also of size. You know, will it really be as large as before, sort of nudging up about $1.5 trillion, or will it end up being a little smaller than that? But at the end of the day, you know, when you sort of step back and sort of the bigger picture, you know, there's a lot of stimulus sort of in the system. On the fiscal side, of course, we believe it'll come through. But equally, the Fed's made it clear that they're going to be ultra supportive as well. So when you sort of combine that from an investor's perspective with, you know, quite a sharp uptick in expected earnings next year, we think that still comes together as painting a pretty optimistic picture, regardless of whether it happens this week or whether it takes a couple more.
At the top of the show, I did mention that the Russell 2000 index of small caps finished at a record high overnight. It rose nearly 2.5%. So small caps have trailed behind blue chips for most of the year. What do you make of investor interest in them now?
There's definitely interest, and I think a lot of the interest always goes back to the historical relationship of small caps, one way or another, loosely being a high beta call on U.S. equities. But in our view, there are a few ways you can slice and dice, you know, equity markets. I mean, small versus large cap is one, cyclicals versus defensives is another, and of course, the value versus growth styles. For us, the lens we prefer is sort of value versus growth, and I think it feeds to a similar picture where if you start looking for, you know, continued gains, but supported by a strong rebound in economic growth, maybe a slight uptick in bond yields as well, that's actually, we think, quite positive for the value style, which is a style that's lagged quite a bit. And that doesn't incorporate a lot of course, small and mid-caps, incorporates a lot of cyclicals. They're all a little bit different, but I think the bottom line is that we think there's room for rotation towards sort of sectors, parts of the market that have lagged, that are more focused on the domestic economy. And then, of course, we're taking the view of, you know, having a tilt towards value, even if we retain a bit of growth.
Now, there are two sectors that are attracting a lot of attention today, so I'd like to get your views on them, Manpreet. The first is cold storage companies. As we've heard in the news, the new Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine needs to be distributed at temperatures that are as cold as the Arctic, minus 70 degrees Celsius. And that's leading a lot of investors to take a fresh look at companies in the supply chain. Do you see good value here?
Well, that's obviously quite a specific sector. And I think one of the questions we'd always have is clearly there's going to be a lot of demand coming through for that subsector. But one has to ask how much of that is already in the price. Mm. So I think that's one part of it. I think when we sort of look at, you know, these sort of emerging sort of stories and themes, actually, we sort of prefer, you know, looking a little bit longer term, especially in areas where, you know, that sort of news may not be priced. So absolutely, that may be sort of a near-term beneficiary from vaccine distribution. But for us, you know, we think the real opportunity sits in looking a little bit beyond that and saying, okay, vaccine distribution, you know, does occur, but what does that post-COVID world mean from, you know, work balance perspective, you know, new technologies? And when we look at, and that's where we see more opportunities in sectors like, you know, medtech at a broader level, for example. So it's not just about distribution, but actually, you know, if you think about some of the examples of new technology we've seen during the current vaccine push, that's where we think an area that looks quite interesting from an investor perspective.
Do you have asset class picks then, given the positive knock-on effects from a worldwide distribution of a vaccine?
Well, I think there are a few. I think the big one is really, of course, you know, a positive for growth and risk. So we've really been asking ourselves, you know, where could that be? So one route we use, of course, is from a country selection perspective. U.S., of course, is preferred, but we're paying much more attention to Euro area and Japanese equity markets. Mm-hmm. They have lagged, but they sort of fit into the theme of rotation into more value style. You know, the question is, could they catch up? And similarly, from a sector perspective, I think technology is not something we're willing to let go of just yet. But we have been raising our exposure to financials as well, because in Europe, for example, we had the news that regulators are very slowly beginning to relook at, you know, the dividend suspension. So still a long way to go, but that's a good example of where, you know, we may see more rotation in when we start looking at a post-COVID world or a post-vaccination world, which markets we think will start pricing in sooner rather than later.
And interestingly, I have your insights here. You say in Asia, it's ex-Japan. Asia ex-Japan, you expect North Asia equities to outperform over the next 6 to 12 months, right?
That's correct. And I think some of that comes from the historical relationship. North Asian equities tend to be that bit more leveraged to the global growth recovery historically through cycles. So that's, I think, especially when you talk about Korean equities, that we think will be one effect that comes through. But Chinese equities as well. I mean, they definitely, you know, continue to do well. But from a shorter term perspective, actually, you know, Indian equities are interesting when you're looking at a COVID recovery, because arguably they show signs of being amongst most sensitive to the downside. Mm-hmm. So on a shorter horizon, actually, we see greater sensitivity to the upside as well. So there are a few interesting stories across Asia as well from a country point of view.
Great insights from Manpreet Gill, Head of Fixed Income, Currencies and Commodities Investment Strategy at Standard Chartered Bank. He's who you're listening to right now. Next, Manpreet, the U.S. Federal Reserve is meeting tonight and it faces an unusual conundrum, that poor short-term outlook but brighter long-term one, a theme that you raised earlier on in the program as well. So what actions, if any, do you expect the Fed to take?
I think the real key message to watch out from the Fed is how they're reacting, to the uncertainty around the fiscal stimulus, because we may see some tweaks to policy. But I think the big question mark is, to what extent do they believe they need to react to fiscal stimulus, either being, again, delayed beyond this week or potentially being smaller than they'd like? Because from the Fed's perspective, more than economic growth, I think it's the commitment to long-term inflation. That's the interesting part to us, because what that implicitly tells us is that they're willing to keep policy loose for a lot longer than when a growth recovery occurs. They're really waiting for average inflation to really rebound higher, which arguably has a much longer horizon than just 2021. So that's, I think, any sort of commentary or tilt is or messaging around that specific point is what we'd really be on the watch for, outside of any policy, inevitable policy tweaks. So that may very well not be at this meeting. It may be something that has to wait till January. But again, for an investor, the key message for us is, you know, the Fed has shown that it's very, very willing to extend support for much longer. And that ultimately creates a pretty positive backdrop, regardless of whether an equity investor or a corporate bond investor.
Indeed. I'd like to bring the conversation to Singapore now. So the government has announced the creation of new segregated travel lane that will enable business leaders, government officials and high economic value travelers from across the globe to enter Singapore, no matter what country that they're from, as long as they stay in segregated bubble facilities. So Manpreet, what do you make of this? And do you expect this to give a boost to Singapore's economy and status as a hub?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's absolutely a positive step. I mean, when you think about, obviously, the best share of economic growth, I think travel and tourism is absolutely key to, you know, sustaining economic growth and seeing that rebound when you start thinking in, along the post-COVID theme. But speaking of sectors, of course, travel, you know, is the one that has sort of suffered the most. So I think of where expectations are today, I think any such measures would be perceived as a positive. And I think that definitely should sort of improve sentiment. But I'd also be cautious that that's one of the sectors that, you know, is the toughest ones to recover fully until you really widespread vaccination is in place. And you see that not just along the conversation on narrow travel bubbles, but when you start looking at conversations or analysis around the sector as a whole. So as a step, absolutely a step in the right direction. But I think that's one where, which arguably may have the most room for rotation at some point when you start seeing vaccination sort of a bit more widespread, because it's when travel opens up on a much freer basis. That's from a market perspective, at least, where you may begin to see the biggest gains come through.
Right. I want to check in on local stocks now. 16 minutes past nine, the Straits Times index finished a tad in the red yesterday, basically flat at 28.56, currently at 28.69.16. The blue chip index seems to be in a holding pattern following a stellar rise in November. Manpreet, what is your view on Singapore stocks going forward?
Well, our view is absolutely a positive one from an absolute perspective. I mean, we expect the region to do well, and we don't expect Singapore markets to be any different. But I think two of our themes do feed in through local equity markets very well. One is we spoke about the potential rotation into financials. And while that story might be strongest arguably in Europe, we do expect, you know, some of that positive sentiment to feed through domestic financials. So that's a significant sector, of course. Second is we still believe, you know, the search for income is going to remain an important theme going to 21. Following on to the conversation we had on the Fed, investors are still going to look for income. And for Singapore equity markets, that means the tailwind for REITs in particular is likely to stay in place. I mean, perhaps not at the same scale as we've seen in 2020, but at least, you know, a tailwind is always preferable to headwind. So when you start thinking about some of the individual building blocks that are going to the broader market, you know, we do think the picture is still an optimistic one. And of course, if travel and tourism does pick up in a bigger way at some point next year, that, of course, would brighten the picture even further.
You've shared terrific insights with us, Manpreet. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Michelle.
Manpreet Gill is Head of Fixed Income, Currencies and Commodities Investment Strategy at Standard Chartered Bank with me in Market View today.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.